and we are On the Record, a music podcast for those who just fucking love music. This week is part two of Greta Van Fleet's The Battle at Garden's Gate. So if you haven't heard us review the first half of the album, go back to last week's episode. We'll do our week in music, and then we jump into that first half. Here we're picking up track number 6, Tears of Rain, and then we're going to finish this one out with our 6-string rating of the overall album. So once again, if you haven't joined us last week, head back there first, and then you can check out the second half. Thank you so much for listening. Let's rock and roll. Track number 6, Tears of Rain.
Hey, we're getting better throughout the day. J-Man loves his acoustic beginnings, as we all know. So, a mean, lean, and clean guitar sound that the starts really good. Again, if I'm going to say anything, the lows in this mix, especially for this song, very intriguing and have my hair basically standing on end every time I listen to it.
This is surprising. The shortest song on the album, coming in at 3 minutes and 50 seconds. The shortest song. There's some albums we've done where that's by far and away the longest song. It's funny that how they're taking this approach. I would say another strong vocal performance on the verse here. I really like how he's using his voice to emphasize different words and different parts. I think he's really starting to come into his own on that one.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I actually said that he's actually stretching his vocals here, and I really applaud him with that. He's his vocals really feel like he's actually calling to the skies as if he's praying too. So it's really nice to see. That's where the cinematic value comes in, and you really feel it. It's emotive, very good. Ringer, what can you tell me that happens at 2:05?
So there's this bridge outro that I liked a lot because we get some keys. We haven't heard a lot of keyboard yet, not a lot of clean keys yet. And I think that's just really cool that now they're introducing a new sound into this, 6 songs in. We're reaching the halfway point of this album, and now we're kind of getting something we haven't heard yet. So I really did like that. And I really like this whole outro part. I think for some reason they've done really great job with like the second half and outros of their songs so far, even if the first parts of the songs don't hit. So how that happens, I have no idea, but I really like the part where he's singing "Who Will Bring the Rain." It just sounds so nice to listen to.
Can you imagine that band meeting like every day? What should we do with this song? Long outro. What should we do with this song? Long
kick outro. Ass outro. What about the first half? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
No, I really dig it. I think one of the cooler parts, I love the production on that piano piece that you mentioned, and it just really sounds fresh, refreshing. Then you get into about like 239, 240, and you get into the right channel, and you can hear some of Jake's guitar, and it has some really good heavy reverb, but it's just really gentle, kind of plays off of everything else very well.
Yep.
Definitely a solid tune overall. Yeah.
That's your final thoughts?
Yeah, basically, if I had to say anything, this is probably my second or third favorite song. Excellent track. Musically, it's in the direction I was hoping to see from them, from their first album, actually. But I kind of think, it's a slower song, and it's definitely them kind of getting into a little bit of the love song era. So, yeah, I think it's not too bad. I like it.
Tale of Two Halves for me. Didn't really care for the first half much, but I very much liked that second half. But I would say probably one of my least favorite on the album. So we're kind of on opposite sides there.
Well, don't worry. It gets a lot cloudier for me coming up here, but I just might not have the right stardust in my pants.
Track number 7, Stardust Chords.
Damn it. I want to say Stardust in my corduroys. Damn it.
This one definitely feels like a turn of the album intro, because that now we're gone on from 6 to 7 out of 12 tracks. I think they've done overall just a pretty good job with the intros in this album. I know we just talked about how the first halves seem to be worse than the second halves, but I think intro-wise, the intros have all been pretty intriguing, including this one.
Yeah, I actually wrote that in my actually opening note here as, you know, I'm loving the sounds of what I'm hearing to start this jam off, but it is kind of getting a weird repetitive aspect of kind of more longer intros. Mm-hmm. And that was like one thing that I kind of like pulled away where I'm just like, you know, some of them work and some of them don't. And, you know, this one wasn't that bad.
This one too, once that guitar kicks in and we get into the verse, this reminds me a lot of their earlier work. Like, this kind of reminds me of like some Black Smoke Rising or something like that. How you just have the guitar kind of chucking along and then the vocals right on top of it. And they do those kind of those little like bluesy things in there. So I kind of noticed some earlier work here.
Yeah, that's, I wrote that same. It has that early Greta feel with some, you know, discipline behind it. So I really think, it is a nice little jump up from when they were at.
Mm-hmm. Chorus-wise, when we kick into that chorus at 138, I think the vocal bends at that already high register. Like, damn, that's pretty good. It's kind of fun just to pretend to be him singing these songs the way he does. Like, oh yeah, I can totally do that. Let me practice in my shower a little bit. I think it's maybe my favorite chorus on the album, or at least one of my favorite choruses, just standalone choruses by itself.
Bouncing ahead from that chorus, about 237, I just love this little guitar riff in the middle of verse two, where it kind of just breaks up the verse so well and kind of keeps that feeling of kind of like, okay, come on and keep listening to this message that they're kicking in here. And I love how the verse two begins, where it's prisoners of the king are promised their freedom for planting a score of infantry vines from the bowing earth. Then it's kind of a kick little guitar part, and then uprises the weeds of war, caving the floor, a renaissance born. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Really nice breakup, especially with the lyrics in there. It kind of makes actually sense in this verse. So really cool kind of break in between there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that sort of thing. Just those little bits of pieces here and there that a normal person, normal listener, just kind of passively listening, probably isn't going to pick up on. But when you hear it, you're like, you feel kind of rewarded for having listened close and picking that out of like, oh yeah, I did like that.
Oh yeah. And it kind of goes back to what we said earlier about how their song structure actually flows really nice. And that's one of those parts.
When we get to that bridge part at 334, this is really cool. I like it. Kind of has almost like a Black Keys vibe, those Black Keys quick chucks, as I'm now coining them. And it just slowly then bleeds into this solo. So you have this quick blast off, and then this solo starts to just creep in around 350, 354. And I would describe this solo as like a screeching eagle, a soaring solo. This is the one that you just really let it rip and let it fly.
Oh, that's actually a good point, because this is actually the part where I kind of said it's the height of the cinematic value of the whole album, where it is the climax. You know, it's the middle point of the movie, and now we're going to see how this climax resolves almost. And I think that's kind of like where this part really kicks in. It's really, as we'll find in my final thoughts, I'm not a huge fan of this song, but this is the part that I just thought was pretty gorgeous. And when you look at the totality of the album, it really is a good peak.
Yep. Final thoughts for you?
So as I kind of mentioned, not a huge fan of this one. Kind of felt Josh's vocals were mixed a little bit too much in the back, but he still kind of crushed it. You could tell that he was working it. An all right tune overall.
Yeah, you know, I think the name kind of sucks. I don't really like the name for whatever reason, but I do think there are lots of cool elements in there. I'm glad you called out that little guitar part. Those cool little like licks, hits, different stuff going on. Big epic energy, like you described, big epic energy. So I did like kind of that theatrical feeling again, especially in those choruses. Yeah, I kind of like this one, just not the name.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I didn't understand what the name really meant at all, but you know, who's to light my love up, you know?
That's right. Track number 8, Light My Love. Come on, baby, light my love.
This song kind of kicks off nicely a little bit after that last song, and that sweet little fade in before the piano piece kind of kicks in kind of has a similar open, or at least a vibe. as we've mentioned this song from last week, Yes's Roundabout. It has that quick little kind of kickabout, and Yes's Roundabout has that. And then I also remembered Klaatu's Dr. Marvello. It kind of has that reminiscence to that. So it was really cool to kind of like have that opening. But then it's just really cool how the piano really kicks it open from that piece.
Yeah, that's deep. I didn't pick a lot of that out. I basically just had, I kind of liked having the piano in the intro again. It's kind of just that, here's the piano. Don't forget about it. We're going to sprinkle it in a little bit more for you.
And I got to admit, the piano actually is pretty strong in this one. Don't you think, Ringer? Like if you go to 136 in, let me get there. Once you get to 136 in, it's just got this really good part in it. It's really sexy. It kind of heightens a little bit of the musicality and the talent that they have from their first album a little bit, where they're trying to focus on other instruments rather than just their rock instruments.
Right.
It really heightens the song here, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. It heightens the song. It just adds a new element that we haven't really been exposed to yet, and does show off that ability to recognize that and to throw that into these songs and change things up a little bit. When we get to 225, again, more of that piano, just that clean piano riff, and then it leads straight just bam, off the cliff or into the cliff, however you want to describe it, right into that chorus. And I like the choruses again here. I think it's another good vocal performance. Like I said, I think these choruses on this album have been pretty good in general, and I didn't notice that like the first time I listened through this album, but really sitting down with it, I appreciate it a lot more. And there's a little bit of difference between this chorus and the first chorus, which is cool. There's just more intensity behind the second chorus, so doing a good job there of layering and adding things on to increase the intensity as the song goes on, kind of reaching that climax here with that second chorus. You can just feel it more.
Oh, definitely. I don't know, right when you're talking about that piano part at 225, if you listen underneath, that bass line is just kind of like piercing up. It's getting that melodic sound, and it's not necessarily hitting on the lows. It's getting onto the higher notes of the bass, and it really just warms up what you're feeling with that piano piece. So great call out there. But take a listen to that bass line underneath it. Really good work there by Sam.
One last thing for me on this one is just at 310, it kind of sounds like the song is about to end. It's another one of those false endings. It's obviously not the first one on the album because they did it in the very first song, but this is the first one that I didn't like. I think the song could have really benefited from just being done right there at 310, but it goes on for another minute and 20 seconds. I think it could have benefited and been a better song had it just ended. And I think it just having that extension just kind of made it watered down a little bit for me.
No, good call, Ringer. For my final thoughts, I thought this was a nice attempt at a love song for them. I don't really recall the first one really having that much, but this one's really good about contemplating what life's passions hold for you and stuff like that. And musically, I think it holds up, but definitely not a huge fan of this song. I think it's trying to be a little bit more of that power pop rock of the 1980s almost without it being like cheesy, you know, like,
right.
You know, kind of like how they were. It might've been the big hair. That's probably what made him cheesy back then. But I think this was a nice attempt, but it falls a little flat for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't really my jam. I think there's some cool parts, but this one was just a little too long for me to enjoy it too much.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think you hated the title, what was it?
Stardust Chords.
Starship. Yeah, I really hate this title because I don't even... Caravel?
All right.
What the hell is this?
I don't know. I think it's a better name.
It's the next song, though.
This reminds me of like a Rush tune or something, just the way it's named. Track number 9, Caravel.
So even though I dislike the title of the song, I love how the beginning gives Danny some drum roll, at least a little bit, kind of a drum intro, to kind of lead off a tune, and we haven't really seen that yet. So really nice kind of quicker opening intro for them.
And now we're talking. This is the heavy riff that I wanted. It's got some cool slight melodic elements to it, but it's still heavy and in your face. It actually reminds me of a song that one of my bands we had written called Enter Jesus. And I assume that Greta Van Fleet heard that and was influenced by it and wrote this one based on that one. So nice little nod to Dogs and Liars there. But I really just like the dynamic between the low end of the riff and how he reaches up and grabs some of those high notes and high chords. Really good job here. And I'm definitely all in on this song right now.
Well, if they did steal it from you, they hit it really well with a really shitty title.
I'm not saying they stole it.
You'll never be able to find
influenced.
It.
Influenced.
Influenced. Okay. Okay, good. I think at like 142, I like the in-between of the verse and the chorus with the flick of Jake's guitar. You just kind of hear this little boop, 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 and it kind of echoes through, just like when you're kind of switching the pickups. It's kind of like this little chink that he's kind of flipping between the pickups kind of, and I really like that hit in there. It's just kind of nice to have those small blips in there.
I like what he's doing in the verse again, and I think, again, great job of the energy in the verse, but you hear how Josh is singing some of these sentences and some of these words. He's like, to the glory, right around 205, and he does that ooh right after that, like really cool, great production work too, like the duplicated chorus vocals, you can just barely hear it, but it's there, just kind of emphasizing that part, and it happens throughout this entire verse, and it just really, really creates a lot of good energy and a nice dynamic to the verse as well. And then when we get into that jam at 2:30, I mean, strap a rocket to this song's back. We're firing on all cylinders here. It hits so heavy and just in your face. And a little bit of prog. Speaking of Rush, there's a little bit of prog elements to it. And it's especially at around 2:55 when this exits, when we leave this space and go into the next area of the song. There's just that little split, like, doing that thing. Just a little splash right there, here and there. Nothing too over the top, nothing in your face. And then we get into that next part. But I really like how that jam played into this next part.
Nah, that's definitely, that instrumental part is just killer there. I like how it just kind of kicks into that breakdown into the chorus there. It really goes through, and you kind of just are left with Josh's vocals with just, you know, as the lead part, it just really takes over. But I love how it explodes at 3:17, just kind of following that chorus. Really good, almost orgasmic kind of like explosion from this chorus part after that instrumental. It's just like a good bout of, you know, fucking going on.
I really like the chorus too. This, again, putting that riff in the chorus, it almost got me off my feet and bobbing my head. Really just liked how intense that was and how they let the song breathe then after the chorus to kind of give you a break before going back into some more.
Oh, totally. All right, Ringer, any final thoughts with Caravel?
Now, this is a jam. I love the heaviness. There's some elements of like why I fell in love with Greta Van Fleet without just being a straight rip from what they were doing earlier. There's some nice elements of prog in here. This is some good shit. I want more of this.
Yeah, you see, I kind of went a little bit further with it, or opposite a little bit. I thought the song had some promise to start off with, but I think it's more of just a true album filler almost. I think, though, the more time that I would spend with this song in particular, it could actually end up appearing as like a deep cut in one of our topics in the near future. You know, it's like I could possibly see in this in a couple of years being like a deep cut almost. But right now, just felt a little off for me.
A little barbaric.
Kind of. And you know what? I still scratch my armpits.
Track number 10, The Barbarians.
Love the how I described it here as was flirty then dirty beginning. Soft, tenuous organ chords kind of cloud over the whole thing, and then a beautiful lightning strike of drums and guitar. Yep. That guitar kind of has like a swampy tone to it a little bit. Love it.
Yeah, this is the real deal guitar tone again. Yes. Kind of that same Frusciante Gilmore. Sounds like a wah pedal with a Univibe combo. Really just a big fan of this sound. Ooh, so good.
Yeah, definitely. This one kind of woke me up a little bit from the previous few songs, to be honest, in the whole album.
There's some fiery elements to it as well. Like, he starts that verse at 51 seconds and he says, "Birthright of death with a fiery breath." And when he says, fiery, the band explodes and you hear all this wall of sound with the fiery breath, and it just boom. And if they wanted to really go theatrical live, that'd be a great time for some pyro right there when he says fiery and then the fire shoots up on the sides or in the back. That would be a thing.
Hey, don't give them any more ideas. They already influenced one song on the album. We don't need to influence their live shows.
Well, now they can put me on the payroll.
Copyright. Well, that'd be great.
This whole podcast has been an interview. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm applying for a job.
Been a 95 papers of interview here.
Yep.
So I love about like 120 in right here. You can feel the bass just a little bit. And it feels pretty clean, but it's kind of, I wish it was up a little bit more in the mix. It feels like it's really good. Mm-hmm. And one of the best parts, it's missing the beef in the bottom for this song. And I feel like it should be kicking me in the gut a little bit more.
Sure.
And I think this song has the potential, especially when you're thinking of the name Barbarian or the idea of barbarianism, you're kind of like rocky, you're rooted, and that's where I should feel the kick. And that was one of the things where it's like the bass is good, but it just needs a little more low end stuff to really make it kick out.
Sure. I like the chorus, the vocals in this one a little bit different, because I think this time it sounds like there's a little anger in his vocals when he says, "Are we prisoners or renegades?" It almost sounds like he's frustrated and really letting something out here.
I really like verse two, though. It kind of go off of your point. Verse two really kind of does that as well. "Mothers of barbarians," and then he sings, "Were your young so spry when they left to die?" It's just really nice way that he kind of sings that aspect too, where it's like he's kind of like in that zone.
Yes, I'm actually a big fan of this verse as well, because it's a little proggy. The breakdown on the three, the way it counts out. So he says that line, "Mothers of barbarians," and then you count it out, and on the three, he does the whoa, whoa, and the whole band goes chick, 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 chick. That's a little proggy element in there that we wouldn't have heard from a previous iteration of this band. So this is the kind of shit that I live for. Mm-hmm. And then the drums do a similar thing just on the ride cymbal in that next line as well.
You really want to talk about some prog rock, kind of like progress. 329, this break, you know, is a nice little break from the heaviness. And it kind of has that light organ piece that just kind of suspends us all. But then, fucking A, Danny's drum roll. Mm. He makes this instrumental like his.
So
this
good.
This is his area.
Yep.
Very Pert-esque, I say, from Rush. Very Neil Peart-esque almost.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Danny doing some good shit on the drums, the bass doing a nice job filling in that low end. We get this hot, steamy guitar, like a hot summer desert evening, just scorching heat. And everything adds up so well to create this intense outro that I really do like. And yeah, these last couple songs have been pretty prog rock. The second half of the album, I think, is pretty damn good. Final thoughts for you?
You know, for me, this one actually, like I said, it woke me up basically from kind of like the original ones, just like the, you know, it just woke me up a little bit from there. But I really like the Black Sabbath vibe here almost. It's not bad at all. The guitar tone and the beef behind the song is solid. You know, just wish the bottom end was a little bit heavy, but damn it, Danny and drums stole this fucker again.
Yeah. Think it's some good prog rock. I get it's not for everyone, but I like it.
Yeah, definitely. It'll help you kind of trip into a fantastic light.
It's fantastic, that's for sure. Track number 11, Trip the Light, Fantastic. We're going like 60s psychedelic here. Here's where we get some of that psychedelic prog or psychedelic glam.
Yeah, I really enjoy this intro. It's actually a very catchy riff. It's basically a fun way for them to kind of start this jam out. The penultimate song, very good energy to kind of try to swing out the end of the album. Mm-hmm. Almost.
I do think for how good of a intro this is and how well it kicks off, I think the verse is a little bit of a step down for me. Felt like we walked back a little bit here. So I was a little saddened, a little bummed by that. Something just didn't mesh right between what we got in that intro and then what we got in the verse. I think it just becomes a little too lighthearted for what that setup was in the intro.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's definitely a different setting to how it seemed to be set up with that opening riff. One thing that they actually utilize for the first time that I can really recall throughout this whole album, and kind of the first album, but again, it was very minimal, is at 58 seconds, a fun way to utilize their backing vocals. It's very rare for them, but it adds a nice dimension in this space without having to resort to instruments, kind of. But there was that kind of like little chant. And of course, it'll pop up again later, but it was a really nice surprise to actually hear that from
them. When we get to the chorus at 1:15, we bring in that intro riff. And I actually noticed this intro riff in the chorus reminds me a lot of Temples and how they use those big booming riffs to drive a lot of their songs. And I recognize that in this one, more psychedelic here, and I like it.
Yeah, very good point, because, you know, also the lyrics in itself, you know, is about spiritualism, and that's kind of like what the Temples kind of dig into a little bit too. And so they're really kind of melding the music and the lyrics together very well. And the melody of it is very spiritual and stuff like that, despite how Josh performs it, where it's more rocky, but really the melody is very good too.
And then of course we get into that jam at 2:55. And we really get psychedelic with that long delay and some modulation on the guitar. The angelic chorus behind it really just feels like we're floating on a gentle breeze that goes all the way to Mars, baby.
Oh, that's a beautiful piece. I do have a misheard lyrics alert.
Oh,
I do gotta admit this right now. Yep. Oh, this was underneath my notes, but at 2:37, misheard lyrics alert, they sing, "Beyond the spaces of false and true." I thought it said, "Beyond the places of false-handed Jews."
That is a lyric.
That is a misheard lyric by Jesse, and it has nothing to do with me being German.
Well, final thoughts on this one.
You know, to me, I thought this was a nice tune, actually. This one didn't get a star from me, but I thought it was a nice tune. This one probably would have done well as a single, honestly. I think it's short enough. But, I mean, it's also one of those songs where I think it has pretty good all-around energy, where I think this one could have passed as a very good tune that would have taken them away from that Led Zeppelin idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, to me, they just missed with the verse and the chorus just slightly, but I really like the psychedelic elements and the rock elements in here. That outro jam is really cool. And it's really cool just to hear Greta Van Fleet really progressing their sound. That's really more what I care about from this one. Is like, okay, they are pushing their sound. They are trying to push it and take it to that next level or a different realm. So I'm all in on that. And for that, I'm a big fan, or just at least a fan.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy things there, Doc.
Doesn't weigh me down. Track number 12, The Weight of Dreams.
I tell you what, this one is a journey. This is a nice one where it's like dueling guitars to kind of kick off. Feels trippy, but you know you're kind of on an adventure for this one. Very much like Find My Way Home. I forgot what the Grand Funk Railroad tune was, but it's the ending of Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. It was just one of the last songs off of a Grand Funk Railroad song. So, you know, it's like that. It's meant to be kind of like that prog rock kind of epic journey to end an album, I think. And it's very good. The guitar actually has kind of a Nancy Wilson type thing, heart, you know, kind of a guitar intro almost.
It's a very serious guitar intro. I think it's well played, well written, just keeps getting better at the guitar, Jake does. And this one, there was a seriousness to it that I won't say it was missing, because I don't think it was missing, but it's just a different element. There feels like there's some focus here and some intention behind it, as it really just kind of progresses through that first minute of basically just the guitar, and then the drums and bass kind of sweep it up and carry it forward a little bit. And then that first line, or one of those first lines, I like at 110 when he says, "Find the weight of dreams in gold." I actually liked this one. I think it's just kind of a cool, trippy line, but it also kind of makes sense, but also doesn't. It's abstract. The weight of dreams in gold.
No, I think, you know, the chorus kind of makes sense, but I think most of the verses really tell good stories throughout. Well, I guess there's only the two, but the two verses really tell a more whole story than most of the songs they've written. You know,
we get kind of a cool jazzy interlude at 2:15 too. Sets up this new jazzy, another kind of sets up a movement, really establishing the journey of this song and kind of just communicating the theme of the whole album, which is like this journey, this path.
Yeah, that area, I love that. It was just a delicious little guitar riff that rolls right after the chorus there. That tone is right in your face, and it plays with your head a little bit. Just is a sexy little piece. And I do got to say, I wrote at 2:57. This one took me a couple listens to this song just specifically, but at 2:57, I think the ending on the second verse lyrically there would have been tits. I think it would have been great, especially when you look at the lyrics there. You can still bathe in the river, but it ran dry, and all of us have churned away. I just think that would have been the greatest ending lyric into this outro, possibly, instead of going back to the chorus. So that's where sometimes that song structure of kind of going back is not necessarily necessary. And so I think with the way that the outro plays out, that ending on that second verse would have been amazing.
Yeah, that's a
story to the storytelling. Right, basically.
That's good. Around the 4 minute mark, the song slowly starts to shift. The riff from the verses and the choruses becomes a little more prominent, and slowly builds up until about 4:41, and then we get that epic note. That it just kind of creates this like angelic, like ringing sound. And then this scream that comes from out of nowhere, from zero on the fader all the way up. Wow. And then we just blast off for the rest of this song.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like outro from that point.
So let's do my favorite part. And, let's break down the solo a little bit here, because there's a lot to unpack here without going on too much longer. But yeah, one of the first things that I like here is at 5:10, there's like these walk down bends. You're just kind of walking down the scale, but bending each note, which I think is really cool. At 5:35, the solo switches between the right ear. It goes to the right ear, then slowly comes back to the center. And then at 3:43, hard left, and then slowly comes back to the center. I've never heard production work like that before, I don't think. It was really cool.
Obviously, you haven't listened to the damn Shambles. And whatever that last song is. I don't know what the hell. I'm not smoking or drinking right now. I'm dropping things here off of my memory, but collisions. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's the thing, too. That was what makes the production value kick-ass in this motherfucker. I really love the guitar feeling in this whole thing, in this outro. It felt like Neil Young, a little bit of a mixture in there. And just the panning is just all around just absolutely wonderful. I think all around this whole song is musically just powerful and wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. Great use of panning at 6:10, going left to right and back really fast this time. At 6:43, he does a great job with like the triplets, and he's doing going between two sets of notes every four beats. And then at 6:55, switches it up slightly and goes a little faster. And then at 7:10, turns it into just these full bends. And so if he does this live or even something similar to it, with the drums and the bass and everything building behind it, this is great solo building. And this is where, when you hit that like 7:10 mark, the crowd is going to absolutely lose it. Like, people are going to be going nuts. Everyone's going to be flashing their tits. It's going to be insane.
Oh, totally. This is the pre-encore song that you played.
Yeah, finish on this one, come out, do some more. Yep. So yeah, final thoughts for me. Nice.
That's it?
That's it. Nice.
I love it. For me, for my final thoughts, I thought there was really good power in the song. Definitely has that epic feel. Danny's drums and Jake's guitar are really the steel of this show for this song. I do want to say, in totality of the album, though, it loses its luster as other songs were almost as long as this one. And, you know, it really does tire you out at this point. So finishing with another song is with a long song like this is dragging almost when you have other long songs in it. But if you just look at it just by itself, this song fucking kicks
for
ass.
Sure. So now that we've heard the album, let's wrap up and let's give our overall rating and give our six string rating and talk about the album as a whole. For those of you new to the show or those of you who need a reminder, we rate out of six strings because this is a music podcast and a guitar has six strings. So three string strum, that's pretty much an average album. One string, that's going to be a really bad album. Six strings, very good, if not great album. Then we throw in some pluses and minuses, aka sharps and flats, because again, music podcast. So we're going to do this now. I'll start first. J-Man, I'll take the reins here.
Rocket ringer.
I think I'm a lot higher on this album than I thought I would be after the first time I listened to it, because I reset my expectations and approached it more like a prog psych album. It became much better when originally I think I was still trying to find that magic that they had in their first EP. But when I reframed my expectations, I think it is much better. Definitely a step up from the last album. So much improvement there. Again, I realize it's still not for everybody. This album does require your full attention to pick out those little things and to really fully go on the journey. So I think if you're willing to commit to that, it's great. It's not one of those throw on in the background and vibe and chill outside like a Lucas Nelson in The Promise of the Reels, where that one is very much a throw on and it's going to create a good soundtrack to your day. This is one you need to sit down for. I think there's a lot of glimpses of evolution, some of those prog, psych, glam, theater elements to it. I think the production was very, very good as well, especially on the drums. I think at times, like we mentioned, the vocals, it was fully hard to understand Josh sometimes. And I'm not sure if it's just the colorful lyrics that we're not used to hearing or just a mix of all of the above, but still great vocalist, executes his range very well. I will say I don't think any of the songs are really go-to, like, let's rock kind of songs, which I think brings it down just a little bit. There's none of those songs, the stuck in my head factor, if you will, when we talked about songs stuck in our head last week. I don't think there's any songs that are really going to get stuck in my head. And so I think that might hurt it a little bit. There's no like big single off of this one, but Caravel, The Barbarians, Age of Machine, those are some of my favorites on here. I thought those were very good, but they aren't going to get stuck in my head. But that being said, overall, I'm coming in at a 4 on this one, much higher than I thought after that first one. I was worried I was going to give it like a 3 flat or even a 2 sharp because I was like, I don't get it. But appreciating it for what it is, I'm coming in at a 4 on this one.
Not bad. I kind of come in the same spot as you, where I came a little bit higher than I was expecting with my initial listen to. I think Peaceful Army had lots of promise and showed early indications of how talented the band is as a whole. So with the sophomore effort, One would expect that you kind of set up, you step up, excuse me, your game with songwriting, production, genre bending, even if it's ever so lightly with changing up the genres or at least, you know, stretching it, experimenting with instruments and sounds, including the vocals, and basically giving us something new, kind of like refreshing. I actually don't find that the album does that a lot. You know, like there's small pockets of it. It has an anthemic rock feel. In a deeper cinematic scope. And I think that's its downfall as it tried to stay 70s glam rock, kind of think Queen almost, and kind of a harder rock Queen almost, when, you know, the talent supersedes staying within that idea that the audience has of them with Led Zeppelin. So they pretty much stayed within their safe space of creativity a little bit, I felt, a little bit too much, while given the illusion of elevated depth. Longer songs does not equate to depth.
Sure.
It just does it with length. So Josh's vocals are basically a little bit the same throughout from the first one. So same shtick a little bit, but he does stretch it out. And he does try to do in a couple of songs, but nothing really too deep. Songs around, you know, the songs run around in circles a little bit too much for me with long intros. You know, they are necessary in some spots, but not most. Lyrics are still a weak point, but I do feel like their melodic value and the way that they fill in is very good. I just don't trust the thematic value that the lyrics presented. Mm-hmm. And I do lose interest quite a bit during and following the song Light My Love. But what really stands out for me in this album is the cohesion of the band is evident. Their talent is immense. Danny on drums is very good. I want to see him do some more shit. I want to listen back to the first album and listen more intently on him. Adding the Wurlitzer organ through a few songs was a really nice touch. Kind of adds a little bit softer tone. You're able to kind of play around with that. The song structures, I think, in general, they fill them up very solid. Like we said, it was a good streamline in there. I feel like they do have some depth that they added to their music in many spots. So I don't want to like put them on the spot where they didn't have any depth. They did. It's just it wasn't something that I was thinking that was going around. So in the long aspect, I think that as young aspiring musicians, they've still put out a very good product. It's just it's kind of feels like they almost fell into a rut almost in this album where it felt like there was that middle part of the album. Those songs kind of strung together kind of similarly. So I come at it with a 3-sharp string strum on this one, which is higher than I was expecting because it was probably going to be in the 3-flat realm, just like as you spoke. So I did come up a little bit, but I would have to double check to see what I did for Peaceful Army. And I think it was just slightly up there. I think I did 4.
I think that was also, we also did that at a time where we were a little more generous with our ratings, you know, and everything was getting kind of 4 sharps, 5 flats somewhere in there. And I think we've recalibrated a little bit to the mean. So now we're average, basing it around, okay, 3 is average. Where does this come in here? Cause I think originally it was just like, we were pretty willy nilly with our grades there.
Yeah, so I want to see for sure what I gave that one and kind of like bar the grade, but I potentially see better potential out of this one than before, but it's been a while since I listened fully to Peaceful Army, but I think this is not a bad, it's above average, but it's right around average. Yeah.
Good take. Well, folks, that's a wrap from us today. Thank you for listening all the way through to the end here. If you want some more of us, we are on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube, all at On The Record Music. You can also visit our website at www.ontherecordmusic.com if you want some more content, as well as just all of our podcast episodes. But of course, we're available everywhere you listen, and you know that because you're listening to us right now.
Yeah, you're staying in tune, but it's too bad that needle has to lip off the record. So we'll see you folks in another time. Until then, peace.
Goodbye.